Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Well, welcome everybody. We actually have a special guest with us today. He's amazing. He does everything. He's a great friend of Julie, and Julie is going to introduce him to us.
So we're so happy to have Logan Elliott with us today with Flammable Entrepreneur. He's a business coach for creatives and has helped hundreds of creatives throughout Europe and North America. And I met him on an art retreat with Kat Coquelette and him in France a couple of years ago. They were the hosts and had a great time then. And then I joined them in Spain in 2022 for another art retreat. And that was fabulous. And now he is our guest today on Artist Soar. So he has a entrepreneurship master's degree, had a previous creative company that we will let him tell you all about and explain the name Flammable Entrepreneur. So where's the Flammable come from?
I love it. Hey, so great to meet you all. So the name Flammable Entrepreneur, it's actually got two meanings. So, and I love it. You know, I love this kind of slightly crazy, kind of vibrant, fun idea of a name. What really happened was that my previous company was called Highly Flammable. It was in the New Zealand live event space. I ran it for 11 years, eventually sold that company. So it was kind of a nod to that. And it was actually during those years that I was running that business that I then basically founded this company, because I wanted to do a lot more coaching. I was already doing a lot of work with universities in New Zealand, but I wanted to have a business where I could do more of this stuff, more mentoring, coaching, supporting next to my other business. So I kind of just had a spark of inspiration one day and was like, Flammable Entrepreneur, that's kind of fun. The other piece of it is that something that I used to do and still run occasionally is retreats on volcanoes. And I'm also known for visiting volcanoes. So our original retreats we were running were on the active volcanic island of Stromboli. It erupts every 20 minutes. Beautiful, what? Amazing.
I forgot all about that. Oh my gosh. It's like, hello.
That is a vacation I never thought of doing before. It's like, hey, hon, let's go sit on the volcano and
I know.
See what happens.
Well, now we know, Nick, we can just go. I mean, we can now go, hey, let's go to a volcano.
What is that movie with Tom Hanks where he does the volcano thing?
With the soccer ball that he starts talking to?
No, there's one like in the 80s.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Joe and the Volcano.
Sure. Joe and the Volcano. Yeah. Okay. That's what comes to my head.
I love it. It's I have an affinity with cool volcanic places and have traveled to a lot of volcanoes, but also, you know, there's a small village on this island in Italy. So we ran volcano retreats for years. We put a bit of a stop to them for a while of COVID, but something I want to reboot again as well. And we ran one in New Zealand too, a volcano retreat in New Zealand as well. So here we go. So that's part of the name. There we go.
That's perfect. So I'd like to also add that you have helped, I mentioned this before, you know, hundreds of graphic designers and stuff, but you've also helped them and focused on getting them from their day jobs to their day jobs. I like that.
That's yeah, that sounds good.
And really helping them grow from $1,000 a month business all the way up to $25,000 a month and beyond. So if you want to speak to your Flammable Entrepreneur, just a brief moment, and then we'll get on to today's topic.
Totally. Yeah. So that's what I'm really focused on these days. I was doing the mentoring, coaching, teaching thing in New Zealand for a long time, helping a lot of people, but then I really wanted to, you know, do more of my own programs. So, you know, basically these days I'm full-time helping coach awesome creatives. So mainly visual creatives who are either wanting to leave their day job, do their dream job at full-time, or for some people it's, hey, they're already running it full-time. They've been doing this for anything from 6 months to 6 years, sometimes longer, and they just really want to grow it to the next level. More sustainable. Sometimes that's revenue, more creative freedom. Sometimes it's less hours working, or, you know, more flexibility in where they're working from or when they're working. So, you know, these are just things that I'm super passionate about, is helping people to, you know, realize these dreams as really their journey. And my view is that business is a self-growth engine, and we can do these amazing creative things rather than perhaps be stuck in jobs that we don't necessarily enjoy. So yeah, that's part of what I love helping people do.
That's awesome. And you've been a great coach to me so far, and looking forward to the next few months as well, and continuing growth. So today's topic is how to grow your Instagram. And I know that you have some great tips, Logan, and I thought we could have a little roundtable discussion around those.
Amazing. Yeah, totally. So maybe I'll dive into it, and then we can sort of see what comes up, because I think we're going to have some great conversations around this stuff. And basically the first point I thought I'd talk about is kind of this idea of the evolving platforms, right? So whether we're talking about anything, I mean, a lot of people are on Instagram, but whether it's Pinterest or Instagram, TikTok, actually any of these platforms, they're continuously evolving, much to our frustrations. And yes, obviously, as you can imagine, we're working with a lot of visual creatives. It's a common thing that comes up is, you know, the algorithms are changing, you know, this changed, and hey, we're trying to post that no one's viewing our stuff. And, you know, these are big challenges that come up. So, you know, I really wanted to address that and have an open conversation around it. Look, one of the big things that I see is that, yes, the algorithms are changing, they're going to keep changing, right? So sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, Instagram isn't what it used to be, right? And nothing is ever going to be like it used to be on any of these platforms. It's not just Instagram that evolves, it's all these platforms, because they're updating, they've got many new users coming on board all the time. They're trying to figure out ways to potentially monetize themselves, right? So we always forget this, Instagram is a business, right? So we can get frustrated with that fact, but you know, it's an amazing tool, but also it's got these updates. So, you know, something that I talk about is, you know, I really see that a lot of the updates that happen really throw people off. And I get it, right? I work with a lot of people, you know, we've got it in our own business as well. You know, we're running Instagram as well. So, you know, there's definitely those frustrations. But one of the big things that happens is people get thrown off, right? They've finally worked out a strategy, it's working, and then it stops working and they give up, right? Like I think we all know people that have given up on Instagram, at least for a few months. So, you know, part of that's one of the challenges that arises. So maybe we have a bit of a discussion around that, because I think lots of interesting things around that.
Well, and perfect timing for that discussion too, because they've just introduced subscriptions now, which everyone's trying to navigate. So right. It's like, last it was Reels, now it's subscriptions. It's like, what will be next? But at least it's something to try to help artists make some extra cash flow on a monthly basis, even if it's just a low dollar. They're, you know, I don't know how, what are your thoughts on how that applies to being seen in that? Like we saw before with Reels, if you weren't doing Reels, you kind of got pushed down in the stack and weren't being seen. Is the same thing kind of happening with subscriptions, do you think? Or do you think that's going to be a little bit different?
I think it is going to be different. I don't think we're going to see the same impact as like Reels, where, you know, if you're not doing subscriptions, you're going to get hit. What I've, obviously it's very, very early days, but what I've seen so far is, you know, subscriptions are something that, you know, people with bigger followings are going to probably benefit from the most. Now, bigger followings, I guess we define bigger following can depend on how engaged your audience is, right? You could have, yeah, go for it.
Okay. So quick question for me and like everybody else who's not familiar with the subscription thing, because I'm one that kind of gave up on Instagram.
Right.
Zero interest in going back. But so what is this subscription, and why is Instagram, what's their purpose behind the subscription?
It's a way for creatives to share additional content.
Okay.
So it could be in the form of video or
Patreon type of
thing.
Yes,
it's very, yes.
Additional information.
That's a great way to describe it. It's very similar to Patreon. Okay. Okay. Once you say
it'd be like extra content. Is that what it looks like?
Or the people who subscribe and pay to subscribe are actually finally getting to see the things that they subscribe to.
Right. But you as a subscriber, because I did subscribe to one to see kind of how it was working, because it was only $5 a month. And I figured, okay, let me see what this is like. I still have to go to that person's page.
Oh, seriously?
in order to see the content. As far as I'm aware, now this is only a week and a half out of me, so I don't know more than that at this point. What have you seen, Logan?
Yeah, so I've actually got a few clients that are trialing it out at the moment. About 10% of people I work with have like bigger followings, so like 20,000 followers plus. Most clients I work with don't, but I'm seeing people that you're trialing it out, testing it out, kind of seeing the price range seems, I think it might even be set in, I think, $2 to $10 per month. It's like the fixed amount you can charge per person. And so, yeah, it's really access to, you know, extra separate content. And I've actually seen, a client that I used to work with who has a lot of followers, as in, I think over 500,000 followers. What she's kind of done is she's almost created it as a separate area from her main page, where the people on her main page who don't want to hear about X type of content, so maybe it's about her educational content, or maybe it's her influencer content, she can kind of sub it off rather than creating a separate Instagram page, which you can do that as well. She's actually created it as, hey, if you're really interested in this stuff, then you can pay, you know, $1 a month, $5 a month, whatever it is, for access to that. And it also means that people on the main feed, aren't going to get access, but also some people on main feed might not want that sort of stuff. So people are using it in different ways there. And that's kind of another way I've seen it used. I think that particular previous client was actually an earlier adopter. I think maybe she got early access to a version of subscriptions, whereas we're only seeing it kind of more rolling out more generally, you know, very, very now, very much now, which is, you know, in these months.
Yeah. Okay. So it is it's very similar to Patreon.
Yeah. It's interesting business decision.
Uh-huh.
I'd be interested. Because like one of the things that I argue against is, building your platform on something you don't own.
Right.
And you wouldn't be able to own that like you would. Like, well, you don't technically own Patreon either. They can kick you off that too. But it's just kind of an interesting idea, and I just kind of, their long-term plan.
That's what I'm
looking at.
Yeah.
When you go on your feed, your subscriptions aren't on that feed. Like, you can't just poke over and go to all your subscriptions, or you still have to go to, like, I have to remember, oh yeah, I'm subscribed to Julie, I'm going to go to Julie. Is that how that works, Logan, or?
I don't really know yet because I haven't played with it enough.
There's definitely limited functionality in terms of that sort of setup at the moment. I wonder if that's something that we will see, is that, you know, we might all end up with a few cool subscriptions, kind of like not like a news channel, but some people pay for news channel subscriptions, right? Like as in, yes. Online news channels.
Right.
So it might be almost like that, where you're paying, you know, $1 a month, $5 a month, and you might end up with multiple. So I guess, at the moment, I haven't seen that functionality, but I think that's something that could happen. Is you scroll across in your own profile and you can see who you're subscribed to. Maybe there's a feed of all the subscriptions. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting to see where this could evolve to. I have seen, you know, the small number of people I know that are doing it. They've had some people sign up. It's, you know, pretty early stage. It's, you know, it's testing. And that's what, you know, I had a conversation with a client the other day, where we were just talking. She was like, do you think I should try this? I've actually got it set up and running. I've got a few people on it. She's got a big audience. My response was really like, let's test it out. Let's see how it goes for a couple of months, do a couple of promos. And then maybe you find after 2 months, it's just not worth it because it brings in an extra $40 a month, but you have to create the content, right? So that's the other side. It's like you are putting the time and effort into it. Which is part of it. So it can be very time consuming. As we all know, creating content is already time consuming. So
that's the tough part.
So I know you've got some larger clients with bigger followings, but what do you advise those clients that have a smaller audience? So maybe, you know, 500 to 1,000 or 1,000 to 2,000 followers. Like, how do you get that ball going in the right direction?
I'll kind of just share I'll take a step back from it because there's an interesting perspective and Jules knows from the work we've done together is, you know, we've really got to look at like what is the best marketing strategy for an individual person, right? And what we kind of hear and see online is like, you've got to be everywhere, you've got to be doing everything, you've got to be on all the platforms, and it's super overwhelming, right? It's like, it's too hard. Things are changing, evolving as we're talking about, platforms change, all of that. So So part of the decision is like, where does Instagram sit within that? One of my big focuses in the way that I coach and teach people is let's find your core way of building your business, right? And that's often based on what you've done previously or experimentation. Now, for some people, very much my clients, they have those big followings, it's Instagram, right? That is their core thing. So if Instagram is your core strategy, you have to do everything. You have to keep up with the changes. You should be exploring subscriptions. You should be doing reels, like all of those things, consistent posting. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone has to do that, right? So for some clients, a lot of other clients I work with, Instagram isn't necessarily their core marketing strategy. It's what I then call a supporting strategy, right? So for example, a core strategy could be building partnerships, right? That could be a really good way to build a business. Or for other people, it's people and networking and connecting with new people all the time and going to networking events or online Zoom or in person. Some people love that stuff. So part of it is, others it might be email outreach, right? Some people actually really enjoy doing email outreach. They're really good at it. So the idea is you figure out and you lean into your core thing, but then the other things are supporting strategies. So for example, a lot of clients I work with, Instagram is part of their strategy, but it's not the core thing. So for them, they can kind of like do Instagram to a lesser extent than the people with the core strategy. Right now, obviously that depends. And like always, the more you can do, the better sometimes. But if you're a partnership person and you're not spending time and energy on partnerships, you're spending time and energy on Instagram, well, you're probably not doing things as easily as you could. You're probably better going, hey, I'm going to spend 80% of my energy on partnerships, but then the rest is going to be on supporting that. Make sure you've got the newsletter list set up. Make sure you are posting on Instagram, maybe even just once or twice a week, right? You don't need to be doing subscriptions. You could do reels. So yeah, just wanted to kind of share that thought because I do think it's an interesting one. You don't have to be on Instagram. You also don't have to do everything on Instagram. That's what I see.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to make because I know we've had a lot of those discussions too where, you know, Stephanie's had a lot of success with Facebook. I haven't had a lot of success with Facebook. So, and I've figured out through working with you where my core strategy is. And now I'm using these other things to support that.
I think that was a key point you just made was where does it lie in your marketing, in your strategy? Like what?
Yeah, you can't do everything. You've got something.
And I know like one of the things that you mentioned earlier, Logan, was that, you know, you really help creatives who are focused on like design and visual. And so Instagram totally makes sense for all of that because it is nothing but a mobile magazine constant.
Yes.
So it makes a lot of sense for, I know we were on we did an interview with Katrina Berg a while ago, and she found that her Instagram, that was the place where she got a lot of low end sales, like the ones that didn't
print and things like that.
Low cost. And then she would use her email to help get the greater relationships that led to the higher end sales. And you mentioned to us offline about this ways to use direct messaging to develop those leads and maybe develop those relationships a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and the ideas behind that?
Yeah. So basically the strategy is really around direct messaging. So people sometimes forget there's direct messaging in Instagram and they just feel like that's the place for spam or maybe just with a couple of other artist friends, right? So that can be, you know, pretty common, right? And, you know, I think we need to think about this in several ways. One of them is, if Instagram is your core thing, you certainly should be using DMs, right? So that's a really important point to make is you should figure out how to, what that could look like, strategy, all of that, all of those good things. Now, if it's not your core strategy, it's a supporting strategy, you still could use them, right? But it may be in conjunction with other strategies that you're doing. So for example, if you're doing a partnership as your core marketing strategy, maybe Instagram DMing could support that strategy. So I'll give a couple of pointers around this because I do think, for people in your audience, I think there's a lot of power here in using direct messaging. I kind of, in a way, you can think about direct messaging as kind of like cold email, but better. So, you know, cold emailing still works, right? So we're still seeing it as still a strategy that can grow your business. It's a volume game. You've got to spend a lot of emails. You've got to craft it. You've got to get the messaging right, all of those things. It's, and then in a way, Instagram direct messaging is kind of like that. It's a way of connecting with people, reaching out to people. It's just a bit different in that obviously the messages tend to be shorter. Also, it tends to be a bit more personal as well. So, you know, rather than maybe connecting with an organization or trying to find the right email, you're often connecting with an individual who runs the account. Now, obviously, there's still individuals behind the email addresses usually, but it's just a bit of a different feel. It's also a bit more informal. So, you know, people's inboxes are getting pretty flooded these days. We're all trying to get to the bottom of our inbox, missing emails. You know, that happens for a lot of people, and you just delete, archive the spam is what we call it. But actually, you know, this is a way to engage with people in a bit of a different way. It's not a super competitive space. We're not all getting, you know, tons and tons of DMs, unless we're big, you know, influencers who have a lot of followers. You know, we're getting a smaller number. So this can be a really good way. Now, the key is you just like email, cold emailing, it works, but it works at a very low percentage. So the idea here is, with DMing, ideally you want to be connecting with people that are following you already. That's kind of number one. That's a great place. If someone's already following you, you're following them, that can be a great way to connect because they already know who you are, right? They're already kind of warm. They've heard of you before. Maybe you've engaged with some of their content before. Maybe they've engaged with some of yours. So that's kind of like the low-hanging fruit, is connecting with your own audience and trawling through maybe your own audience to see if there's potential collaborators, partners, clients, you know, people that you could work with, partner with, et cetera, and just open up those conversations. But then you can go deeper, right? So, you know, we do call it the follow and follow strategy. I know it sounds a bit salesy, a bit gimmicky, but this is it. It's about connecting with new people, which is literally that, finding great people that are in your target market, connecting as in following them, and engaging with some of their content in a non-spammy way is really important, right? So if you engage like spammers that we see and we all get those weird messages, like, of course that's not going to work. Like, you know, it must work, but it must be such a low percentage that it works. So it's more about genuinely engaging with people. That's a big piece of it. So maybe engaging with their comments, with their posts. And then when they engage back, you can then look at, okay, let's open up a conversation. So that's a lot more effective than, you know, you just randomly direct messaging random people. A, they're going to end up in the other. There's an other inbox. You're less likely to engage with you because they're like, who are you? Right? And you know, those things there. So you can open up those genuine conversations. And yeah, it can be incredibly powerful.
The DM message would be more like, you know, I saw this new piece of artwork that you posted online. You know, I love that you showed behind the scenes process or something like that. It's more engaging with the content that they're putting out there than necessarily like a cold email.
It can be a bit of both, actually. So the big thing I say, you remember this, Jules, we talk about this a lot, is like experimentation. Jules hears me talking about experimentation constantly. Like, and for some people, it could be exactly the first piece you said there. It's talking about what they're up to. I saw this. That's fantastic. For others, it could just be engaging in a different way.
Okay.
So yes, you engage with their content, with a post, maybe a comment, a genuine comment, not just like, hey, love the flowers. Like, no, right. Actually have a look and, you know, like be genuinely interested in their thing, which, you know, most of us who are in this space are. We are genuinely interested in this. So, like, you know.
I think with artists, like you say, I saw this at a gallery or saw this at your show. Or
right.
Kind of just slip into the DM there.
Yeah.
Was like something that you've seen.
Yeah, I just wanted to give our audience an idea of like what a DM looks like.
Yeah.
I think so too.
It's not
only from the perspective of like, you know, you reaching out to another artist because, you know, we're fangirls of other people's art. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but then also when people are responding to our artwork and they like, comment, or whatever, you can reply to them and give them a direct message. Hey, thanks so much for loving my work.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, that sort of thing. Because, you know, maybe you've got a show coming up. I'd love to personally invite you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I love that.
The whole purpose behind the DMing and social media in general is to start developing those relationships.
Right, exactly.
But one of the kickers about it is like a lot of times you know, myself and other artists, we look at it as like, put it out there and voila. But the work doesn't stop
you just
there.
Go, yeah. You know? It's yeah. not here.
And then you sit down there and go, well, why isn't anybody liking it?
It's not like the movie, build it and they will come. It's build it and you have to continue to nurture it.
Yeah. One mm-hmm. of the best things I found so far with like when I do Instagram, and it's been a long time, is to actually post something and then I immediately send it to a whole bunch of people that I know would be interested in it. Mm-hmm. And that starts some engagement.
Okay.
But it's like, it's just taking that extra step and realizing that you have to.
Right.
Bless you. Realizing that you have to start those conversations.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-sided thing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a powerful tool. And for some people, it may not work. They may not like it. They may not be interested in it, but it's something you can certainly try. And I'll just, the one extra thing I'll sort of share around that is like, it is unfortunately kind of like email in that, a cold email, and that it is a bit of a numbers game, right? Yeah. So, you know, mm-hmm. you might send 10 direct messages. Ideally, they're people that have already just engaged with you. Maybe they're following you. There's some engagement level there, which will increase the odds of them replying. But still, you might find you send 10 messages and 3 people reply, and you can then have a conversation with them, and that conversation may die. So, you know, it is a bit of a numbers game of like, it's not just do 5, see what happens, do 10, see what happens. Like, try to do 5 every day for a month and see what happens, and
right.
get those conversations going. But this stuff can be very time consuming as well. You know, it can be pretty challenging within that. But the final tip I'll share, don't go into people's DMs and promote stuff straight away. Like that's the thing I see people doing wrong often. Now, it's a bit different if you're sharing content. That's a little bit different. But if you're like, hey, check out this thing here that I'm selling, and like they've never heard of me before. Right. Like, or like, hey, I'm a graphic designer. Here's what I'm up to. Here's my LinkedIn portfolio. Would you be interested in working with me? Like that there just never seems to work. Right.
Look, right.
It will work. It's probably 1 in 1,000. Maybe it works. So you've got to do a lot of it. But, you know, it's more about opening up a genuine conversation first. Maybe it is, like Jill said, a connection point. Or maybe it's just, you know, thanking them for the follow, or, you know, great to connect with you, fantastic. And then you could turn it into more of a genuine conversation that could lead to collaborations, it could lead you to working together, it could lead to partnership. There's all sorts of possibilities, which is cool.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, I like somebody said at one point, it's like dating. You know, if you go in right away and go, hey, you know, buy this, right then you're asking for a intimate relationship and you haven't done the dating.
Right. That's a great analogy.
I like that.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. 100%. It's part of it. And it's, you know, we can look at all forms of marketing in a way, in this way. It's like, cool, we can test them out, but also we need to tiptoe in. We've seen, you know, even with cold email, you can try different strategies and shorter emails versus longer ones. So you can do it in DMs. Just try different things. And there's no one way that works for everyone. I know everyone's kind of looking for like the magic bullet of like, cool, tell me exactly what to do and I'll do it. Right. It's right. like, and the thing that'll work. But look, I've, you know, some strategies that work perfectly well for some people, we try it with others, exact same thing, similar audience, similar business, and it just doesn't work. Right. So that's where that experimentation comes in as well. And just trying different things.
Uh-huh. Yeah, another question. So we've kind of, just in case that we've got some listeners that haven't heard these terms before, in relation to Instagram, what would qualify as a cold audience, a warm audience, and a hot audience?
Yeah, so I think people probably have different definitions around this, but for me, a you know, cold audience would be people that are not connected to you at all. So they aren't following you, they haven't engaged with any of your content. So right now I could go on Instagram, you know, type in hashtags or search or, you know, do things and find maybe someone who would be awesome creative that I could work with, that I could coach with. And I could send them a direct message. I could literally do that, right? They are a cold audience, absolutely cold. They don't know who I am. They've never heard of me, right? So with cold audience, you've kind of, it's kind of like, well, once again, that dating analogy, it's like you still tiptoe in. So maybe first of all, I follow them and I engage with some of their content. That brings them to maybe being warm. Now, some people will stay cold. they ignore your stuff. They don't notice you. They never engage with any of your content. They don't follow back. They don't like the comment. They don't reply to the comment. They stay cold. But then some of them might then move to that next level, which you could call warm, right? So maybe they don't follow you, right? People might define this differently. Maybe they don't follow you, but they engage with your content. They maybe like and engage with the comment that you wrote. Maybe they DM you, but they might not follow you. So it's kind of like they're warm. They're aware you exist. They're aware who you are to a lower surface level. I would say hot is like they've been following that they follow you. They engage with your content. And also they've probably been following you for a while is probably a good definition. It's kind of like the longer someone's been following you for, the more likely, the more hot they are in a way within that sort of definition. There'll be variations within that, but that's how I would really define it as well.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of hit on something there. And I know with the cold audience, you mentioned like search for hashtags, and then would you recommend that we actually contact people, like DM them in the cold audience? Because that makes me nervous. You know, it's like knocking on the door and going, hey.
Well, and I just DM'd somebody the other week who does not follow me, but I follow her. Mm-hmm. She hasn't responded yet. And I think with Instagram, it goes into that other or general category. General. So you don't always see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be my only fear with DMing somebody that doesn't follow you.
Yeah, there's a couple of things within this I'll probably share, because, you know, ideally, you want to connect with people that are somehow connected. There's a chain of connection, right? So if I go randomly on Instagram, find random people, like it's they're really cold. They're frozen cold. Whereas maybe someone who is, you know, a follower of someone I follow, or they follow, there's some mutual connections. Like often that's kind of helped. They're like, they might have heard of you before through them, or they will look and be like, oh, there's a mutual connection. Like that's kind of, it's like the low-hanging fruit thing. It's like, start with people that follow you, then move out. And, you know, it's random people who are very cold, very, very frozen. They have no connection. They're just a lot further out. They're less likely to respond. Now, they still could respond, right? That certainly can still happen, you know, within that. But it's still, once again, it kind of, there's different layers within that. So, you know, there is strategy here. The other thing I will share is, you've got to be careful, because this is a strategy, like all things, where that can get you blocked if you do it wrong, right? You can lose access to your account. You can, usually Instagram will actually limit your access initially. If you ever see your account says we've reduced your access or limited your access, you need to stop engaging. You need to leave Instagram for probably a day or two at least, because you've effectively been doing something that's been robotic looking, bot looking. Instagram's trying to protect its users. It looks like you're doing something spammy. So, you know, and this is the realm where you can get into this sort of stuff. If you're like, if I go on my phone right now, go on my Instagram and go follow as fast as I can and do it to 100 people, it'll probably get my account blocked or at least restricted. I can probably get it restricted within a minute of doing that. Like there is, you know, and a lot of that is, it's several things. It's the amount of follows you can do. It's the speed that you can do it in. So there is actually, you know, people online actually work out some of these restrictions, and is usually, you know, you can find the numbers. So, you know, I don't have them in front of me, but it might be, you know, you can follow up to 50 users in an hour without getting blocked. Or there's also within a day, within a week, you can send X number of cold DMs. You can, you know, there is limits on these things that are based on time as well as numbers. So look, for most people, a lot of those limits are quite high, as long as they're not trying to do things, right? I'm going to follow 20, but I'm going to do it all in 8 seconds. Oh, right? Like that's risky behavior. So I'm not saying you have to like wait a minute between each follow, but you know, if this is a strategy that you're going to send more than a few DMs or do more than a handful of follows, you do need to look into that side of things as well, because you've got to be careful within that. So, you know, but this is part of connecting with people, right? It's the same with cold email. It's the same with at a networking event, you could embarrass yourself and do something dumb as well. Like it's the etiquette. It's the etiquette of any type of marketing to learn and understand and what to not say in cold emails or things like that as well.
Right. No, that was good.
What are your feelings on the chat bots like MiniChat. MiniChat allows you to create these, you know, workflow diagram and workflow sequences of communication. Like you can, I used it for a little bit with Instagram. I had it like whenever somebody would comment, it would send them a direct message going, hey, thank you so much for commenting. Would you like to know more about, I would have an event come up. And if they click yes, then it would take them to that sequence. And what's your feeling on those types of software? Or is it a good thing, or is it something that we should be more personable and take the time?
So like anything, some strategies will work with different people, and like it's definitely a strategy that works for some people, right? Like, and I think like anything, you could test it out, see if it works for you. It's not something I personally recommend. So it's not something I'm generally recommending to my clients. It's not something that you know, I use myself. It's not something that I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think for some people it can work really well. But yeah, you are right, can come across as a bit robotic. But for some businesses, that's totally fine, depending on what you're doing. Also, like anything, if you're not checking your DMs or not responding at all, well, probably better have something set up than nothing, so that at least, you know, people are still getting some connection engagement. But the other thing, sometimes you've just got to, some of these external plugins, some of them are fine. Sometimes they can increase your risk of getting blocked, is what I've heard. And I've seen instances of that. You don't always know why people get blocked, and sometimes it's just unknowns, but I have heard occasionally it's sometimes connected to third-party apps. But once again, this is not something that I haven't seen great evidence online for this being a problem, but it's just, something I have seen occasionally. So. I suspect.
So just changing the topic a little bit. Do you see more, engagement with reels as opposed to just posting content? Like, what's the difference between the reels and the content? Like, what would you concentrate more on? Or I don't know, because that's a big question right now. And reels are so prevalent right now. So.
Yeah.
It's a huge one. And, it's something obviously that we're hearing a lot of, is that Instagram is prioritizing reels a lot more over the still content. Reels capture people's attention, but, that's part of it. The bigger piece of the puzzle is that Instagram is competing with TikTok. That is the reason that these things are happening, is basically, whenever Instagram or any app releases a new feature, they will always boost whoever uses that feature, right? So Reels is one of it's been around for a while now, but it's still a relatively new feature. They're boosting it. They're encouraging people to use it. But also it's because it's a competitor to TikTok. So there's a battle. There's a war happening in the space right now. Who's getting all the users, people moving between the platforms, et cetera. And that's where, we're seeing mini battles happening. Even subscription is a mini battle, with Patreon, right, for example. So what we tend to see is using anything that's new on Instagram, I always encourage people to try it out, use it, experiment with it, because you'll usually get a boost of engagement as a result. But the reality is that if you're someone that your core strategy on is Instagram, right, going back to that thinking before, if your core marketing strategy is Instagram, you really need to be using Reels, right? That's going to be the best bang for buck. Yes, I know they can be hard, they can be time consuming, they can be frustrating, all of those things. But that's where you need to learn. You need to learn how to do them. How can you do them quicker? How can you get content? How can you streamline it? Like, that's part of your job within your business, is to figure it out, even though it's changing. Now, for some people, they're just like, oh, I hate doing reels. I never want to do reels. Sometimes we've got to challenge that and go, cool, like, let's check out what the blocks are. And maybe it's just you don't know how to, and let's help you figure out how. Maybe you don't want to do reels every day, but you could do a reel per week. That's definitely going to increase your following, you're going to get more engagement. Do you have to? No, it's your business, it's your choice. But certainly, if you're not doing reels, then you cannot rely on Instagram being your core strategy, right? You can't be just posting on Instagram and thinking, why is my business not working? It's like, well, you need a different marketing strategy in addition to Instagram, because it's really you're running it like it's a supporting strategy, which there's nothing wrong with that. But hey, what about partnerships? Cold email, networking, there's lots of other ways to market and promote a business, but you generally need to find something, ideally something that feels, feels good to you as well. It doesn't feel spammy or salesy to you. Yeah.
One of the things I really like that you're saying, not one of the things, but one of the many things that I like that you're saying is that, you know, Instagram, if it is your core strategy. So when you think about a core, like the earth has the core and you're putting Instagram as in the middle, but that also means that there's other strategies that are circulating around that. So you're not effectively putting all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
And, but you're implementing and focusing in on this one bullseye.
Yeah.
And then developing additional one. Yeah.
You're building.
Yeah. You're building out to the crust of the earth.
I love that analogy. And I mean, sometimes it's also you're experimenting with some other things as well. So like, you know, not everything has to be a supporting strategy, but you could have some like experimental things. You might be like, cool, well, like, you know, my cold emailing doesn't really support my core strategy of, let's say, partnerships or Instagram, but it's something that I'm kind of testing out at the moment. Mm-hmm. But you would still make sure you're spending 80% of your energy, you know, ideally on your core thing, or some people might be 60%, but, you know, most of your energy goes in your core. When you do other things, that's fine, but just don't let it damage your core strategy. And I see this happening all the time where people are like, oh, I'm testing out TikTok. And it's like, that's great. But the problem is they've dropped Instagram. They've gone from like, you know, 80% on Instagram to spending 20% of the time on Instagram. They're testing TikTok with all of the energy. And it's like, well, the problem is you're just kind of flip-floating back and forth and within the two. You're better to keep spending your core time on Instagram and test out TikTok, for example. Now, like any platform, TikTok's the same. You really need to put a lot of time in to get the results. So it's something you need to be mindful of as well.
Yeah.
Oh, good food for thought.
I love this stuff. You know,
too much. No, just I know.
Instagram's always a hot topic.
I think, you know, like, well, one of the things that I love is like, I get, like, for me, like, obviously I'm working with clients like Jules and helping people with all these different strategies and marketing, all these things, but I get to do it in my own business as well, right? So, like, mm-hmm. right now I'm like, you know, should I be considering subscriptions in my business? I'm not, I don't want to, but, you know, like, these are things that I'm always experiencing as well, which is what I love. I get to experience things and also help my own clients with the things that I've experienced and things I'm learning within my own business too. So right. It's kind of one of the fun pieces I get to have as well.
I'm going to ask a random question here. What's your favorite marketing strategy for your business? And then I'll preface that with saying this doesn't mean it applies to everybody else. I just want to know, what do you love?
Very important. Very important. So it's definitely not Instagram for me. It's partnerships. So I really love partnering with other organizations, other people, other creatives. And that, for me, that looks like running webinars. I love getting on calls. I mean, this here connecting with you all, this is actually your partnership. So, you know, I love being able to connect with people. It helps to obviously grow my own brand and business too. So this is a really effective way for me. I love connecting with people. I love talking, getting on calls like this, which is great. You know, live on Zoom, you know, webinars, et cetera. So, you know, that for me is a very natural strategy because of my personal, my personality. But also it works, right? So it's not just, hey, I enjoy it, but also I've seen it work. And then am I on Instagram? Absolutely. You know, so for sure, you know, I'm posting on there. I have got a team as well, which can help with these things. That certainly helps when you can get to that stage where you can have other team members. But it's not the core strategy. So I'm not doing everything possible on Instagram. However, I am keeping up with more than I would probably have to because I need you for my own client, right? So that's kind of the next level within that. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, you are very good at connecting with people.
So yes.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a lot
go
of
with
fun.
Your strength, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
So you had mentioned earlier, and I'll let you talk to us about a promotion or a giveaway that you're doing.
Yeah. I'll sort of run through that. So, you know, look, I love connecting with people. We've already established that, which is great. So, you know, one of the things I really love doing is connecting with awesome visual creatives who are, you know, they're at a stage where, A, they're either trying to, you know, leave that day job and, you know, grow their thing on the side to maybe become a full-time thing, right? Maybe they're right at the start. That's totally fine. Or they're further along and they're like, hey, I'm earning some money. I'm doing all right. Maybe I'm partial full time, but I really want to take it to the next level. So I love connecting with people like this. So I thought what I'd do here is, do a bit of a giveaway. So it's basically some freebie coaching calls. So I'm going to give away five individual freebie coaching calls, the 30-minute calls. And what we've got is basically a survey you need to fill in. It takes like 5 minutes, fill it in, And then we'll basically pick five people and I'll get on calls with them. And basically during that call, I'll really just see where they're at, see what they need and share ideas on that call as well. It's just, for me, I love it because I actually get to connect with people all over the world through this. And we occasionally do these sorts of, whether it's a webinar or a podcast, and, you know, sometimes try and give away a few calls. I'd love to give away more, but time's so tight, as you can imagine, with our current clients and things. But yeah, I always learn something as well. Some of those people do sometimes end up working with us, which is great. But either way, I just love connecting with people all over the world. You know, I need to write a list of countries and people that I've, you know, of where I've spoken to people. It's an amazing list.
Yeah, you need a map on your website with little dots.
It's great. And I also get to see, you know, what's working for people, what's not working. You know, that obviously can help me to support our own clients and, you know, see the trends globally. You know, look, about 80% of the clients that I work with and on our program are from, you know, US, Canada and, you know, through kind of Western Europe. But we also have people dotted around other places. Well, I'm from New Zealand, but right now we don't have any New Zealand Kiwi clients on the program, but I don't spend a lot of time in New Zealand, so that's possibly why.
Well, we're glad we caught you and got you on our program today. You've just been so delightful. I've already followed you on Instagram. So you're on Instagram. So if you haven't, go look up Logan and follow him. He's got some great content as he should.
Right. It'll be his Instagram link and website will all be in the show notes. So check those out.
Amazing. So great to be on here and just connect with you all. And I'm just super excited about obviously what you're creating here as well in the community behind the podcast too. It's amazing. So rock on.
Thank you again.
Thank you again. I hope you have a great day.
Will do. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.